In Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 7, I think I brought some water here. Excuse me for a second. We're getting ready to move on. We've seen so far, though, that the Philistines came up against Israel. I think it was in chapter 4. And so they went out and fought, and they lost 4,000 men, I think it was. And so they got the idea that they'd bring the ark in the camp and take the ark out to go fight. Well, they were trusting in the ark and not the God of the ark, and they lost 30,000 more men. And they lost the ark. Well, the Philistines took the ark and they put it in next to their god. And of course, their god fell on his face twice, the second time breaking his head and his hands. And people started feeling the pain of having that ark there because God was doing the work there. And so they wanted to get rid of it. They put it on a cart, put a couple calves, five mice and five emeralds, golden emeralds. And I believe the mice were because the mice were in the land and they were marring the land, I think the Bible tells us. And so they wanted to get rid of it, and they sent it to Beth Shemesh. And when they got it, they weren't too wise about what they did. This was Israel. They opened the ark. And when they opened the ark, about 50,057 people died. They were never supposed to look into that, the ark. And so anyway, they wanted to get rid of it, and so they sent it to Kirjatham, and that's where we're going to be at today. So let's look in chapter 7 and see what takes place here. In verse 1 it says, "And the men of Kirjath-Jearim came and fetched up the ark of the Lord and brought it into the house of Abinadab in a hill and sanctified Eleazar his son to keep the ark of the Lord. And it came to pass while the ark abode in Kirjath-Jearim that the time was long, for it was 20 years, and all the house of Israel lamented after the Lord. And Samuel spake unto all the house of Israel, saying, If ye do return unto the Lord with all your hearts, then put away the strange gods and Ashtaroth from among you, and prepare your hearts unto the Lord, and serve him only, and he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. Then the children of Israel did put away Balaam and Ashtaroth, and serve the Lord only. And Samuel said, Gather all Israel to Mizpah, and I will pray for you unto the Lord. And they gathered together to Mizpah and drew water and poured it out before the Lord and fasted on that day and said there, We have sinned against the Lord. And Samuel judged the children of Israel in Mizpah. And when the Philistines heard that the children of Israel were gathered together in Mizpah, the lords of the Philistines went up against Israel. And when the children of Israel heard it, they were afraid of the Philistines. And the children of Israel said to Samuel, Cease not to cry unto the Lord our God for us, that he will save us out of the hand of the Philistines." Let's pray. Father, again, we do thank you for your word this morning. We thank you for how you have given us direction in our lives through the Old Testament as well as the New. And Father, we can see here again how you work in people's lives and what you want us to do. And Father, as we look at these next few moments, this chapter, again, reminding us that we should respond as well as the children of Israel did in this chapter, that we would see great things happen in our lives. And Father, I just pray that you would help us each one, that we would look to you and trust you for all that we do. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. So here we see that something happens. These folks have had the ark for 20 years. The Bible says they lamented. That means they were groaning or crying out for the Lord. They knew that there were some things that weren't right. They hadn't had God's blessing in their lives. And so these were folks who were steeped in idol worship. They were not following God at all, but they had the gods of Ashtaroth and the god of Balaam. And that's who they were following. Why did that happen? How did that occur? We know why that happened. Someone give me an idea why that happened. I'm sorry? Marriages, okay, but where did that start? Let's go on back a little bit. We just went through the book. Joshua, that's where the downfall was it not? Because when they went through the land, they didn't do what God said. They didn't obey God to the letter of what he told them to do. Let me stress that, folks. Sometimes we don't really realize who God is. We like to take God, pull him out of the sky, and put him down here on earth, and put him in our little box and carry him in our pocket. The Lord's blessing me, but yet we're not faithful to the things of God. God is pretty specific about what he wants done. So he wants us to learn that and follow him. If you love me, keep my suggestions. Right? No, it's his commandments. So these folks were steeped up in their situation because Joshua, when he went through the land, the people didn't obey the Lord. They let those people stay in the land. It's the same thing today. That's why the Bible teaches us about separation, because we have the same problems as God's children did so many years ago. And you know, I don't care how strong you think you are, the devil is a lot stronger than you. And if you are stuck in the world and you're out there living with those people and you're not in the Bible, you're not faithful to the things of God, you will follow them and you'll be just like them. And this is what happened to these folks. They were just like them. Those people, the Philistines and all those around about, they had the same gods and they were serving those gods. And so here they had the ark. It was brought to Gir-Jatham. Abinadab, we don't know exactly who he is. We think he was probably a Levite because Eleazar, his son, kept the ark of the Lord. So, and we know as we read through this that God is going to bless them. So they were probably doing some things right. And that's important to remember. So these folks here had had it for 20 years. And they had heard what took place in Beth Shemesh. I'm sure they heard about the 50,057 men for their irreverence of looking into the ark. And so they were crying out to the Lord. They were grieved. They had recognized their error. In Exodus chapter 20, verse 3, which they had the Bible, it says, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." And that's exactly what they were doing. And so here we see in verse 3, it says, "And Samuel spake unto the house of Israel, saying, If ye do return unto the Lord with all your hearts," with all your hearts, that is to love God, right? Love Him. He's first. With all your heart, your mind, your soul, your body, everything you have. And that's what he's telling these people. With all your hearts, then put away the strange gods of Ashtaroth from among you, and prepare your hearts unto the Lord, and serve Him only, and He will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. So these folks wanted to return back to God. They wanted to follow God. And so they really, what's taking place is, they're having a revival. This is the beginning of a revival. And you know, we think about that, and I know about you, but I would love to see a revival in this community. I would love to see our church get on fire for the things of God. I'd love to see people see that we were different, and that when we went out amongst people, they would think, man, that church over there, something's going on. God has really come down and He's doing something, a great work there. And they would see that and understand that we are different, and that there would be, I believe, folks that would also put their trust in the Lord. And you know, we think about this. We need revival if we're like the Laodicean church and have need of nothing. We need revival. Because why? We need to depend on God every single day. I don't know about you, but I need God. And I need Him in my life. If you have no burden for souls, you need revival. If you are too busy to come to church, you need revival. If you don't care about reading your Bible, you need revival. If you're apathetic to the preaching of the Word, you need revival. If you're in the world and the world has your attention, you need revival. If we lose our focus on the things of God, I need revival. And it's true. That's what's happened with these people. They lost all this. And before revival can ever begin, we have to come to the point that we are convicted of our need, that we need to change. That's what happened to these people. They were lamenting. We need to come to the points where we're lamenting or groaning for the things of God. God, I want you in my life. I want you to change me. I want you to help me to grow in the grace that you've given me. Help me to know your will for my life. Help me to be faithful to everything that you've called me to do. Because this is the most important service you can ever do, is to serve God. That's the most important thing you can do. And so we need to be convicted of the fact that maybe we've strayed. Maybe we realize we really do have a problem. It's evident in our life. I don't know about you, but sometimes I walk around like this, or this, I guess. If I do this, I don't walk around too much. But it's like we got blinders on. You know, it's easy sometimes to see somebody else's sin and not see our own. And that's the problem. Is we're too busy looking at somebody else and not ourselves. Because every individual needs to look at themselves and say, am I following God? Do I have a need of something in my life? Is there some challenge that I'm not willing to take on? I'm not willing to go. I'm not willing to get out of my comfort zone. And really, it's through the Word of God that we learn this. In John chapter 16, verse 7-8 says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away, Jesus talking to his disciples. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. The Word of God tells us that the Comforter, Jesus tells us that the Comforter in our lives will challenge us to take steps. The steps that God has ordered for our lives. Now, we have to accept that challenge and do it or not. We get to choose. I don't even understand why God did that. I'm being honest with you. I mean, if it was my plan, I just lay it out and say, okay, this is what we're doing, and they're going to do it, period. There's no deviation. They'll do it. You know. But he didn't do it that way. Why? Because he wants us to reciprocate the love he's given to us. And how do we do that? Is by following him. We demonstrate that by following him, the steps that he's ordered for our lives. So anyway, we have this problem. I don't know about you, but I'm in the same boat. I need to look at my life on a daily basis and ask God, where do I need to change? What do I need to do different? And then I need to not only ask him, but I need to confess those things as sin and follow him. It's not about the sacrifices we make. It's not about how hard we work or what we do. It's about being obedient. 1 Samuel chapter 15, when Saul was disobedient, Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifice as obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice and to hearken than the fat of rams. Remember, he brought all those lambs back. He said, that doesn't please God. Your sacrifices are useless if your heart's not right. You're wasting your time. And so here, these people are trying to get a hold of God. They're trying to find out what's going on. Why has the fire left? Why are they doing these things? And they realize they're lamenting after the Lord. It's because of what they have done. And revival always begins with confession. And that's what Samuel is telling him right here. In 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. And what he's saying there is that if we understand that we're lamenting about our sin and we look to God and we say, God, I have sinned, and we agree with God about that, we actually turn from that sin. We don't keep doing it. We make changes in our lives to conform to the image of Christ. And that's exactly what's taking place here in the Israelites' life. They're finally coming to the idea or understanding that God is not blessing them. They haven't been blessed for a long time. Now they're also realizing the Philistines up against them again. And they don't want to deal with that. And of course, we know the Bible throughout tells us that God will fight our battles. Sometimes we think we've got to pick up the sword and we got to do it. I want to tell you something. God wants to do it. He wants to fight your battles. And when he fights them, he's going to win. When we fight them, we're going to get hurt. So here they said, look what goes on. It says in verse 3. He says, first he said, and Samuel spake unto the house of Israel, if you do return unto the Lord with all your hearts, then put away the strange gods of Ashtaroth from among you. Prepare your hearts unto the Lord. Prepare your hearts, he says. That's confessing. That's getting right with God. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us all our sins, right? And cleanse us, or forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God will do that. But we have to prepare our hearts. Sometimes we don't do that. I know I don't. Sometimes I maybe even get angry. Sometimes I don't want to hear the word of God, or sometimes I don't want the preacher to tell me anything. Why? Because we don't like authority. Authority is a thing in our flesh. It's called pride. We got so much pride in us, we don't like nobody telling us what to do, even God. And that's where we find ourselves most often. And that's why we have to prepare our heart and we have to humble ourselves before the mighty hand of God. And so here he told them, prepare your hearts and serve him only. That is, nobody else. Not any other gods, not anybody else, but him only. and he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. Then the children of Israel did put away Balaam and Ashtaroth and served the Lord only. And Samuel said, gather all Israel to Mizpah, and I will pray for you unto the Lord. And they gathered together to Mizpah and drew water and poured it out before the Lord and fasted on that day and said there, we have sinned against the Lord. Have you ever said that? Have you ever, has been a time in your life other than salvation where you said, I have sinned against you, Lord? And I know it. Would you please forgive me? You know, if you've never done that, then you don't have fellowship with God. Just like salvation, you've got to confess your sins. You've got to agree with God that you're a sinner. There's none in this room that's righteous, not one of you, including myself, apart from Jesus Christ. He is our righteousness. And that's only because he lives within inside of us. But we still fail him. And when we do, we need to say, Lord, I have sinned. That's what David said. I have sinned against you, Lord, and you only. And that's the thing that the Israelites are learning, is they have to confess their sin just like we do. And this is a perfect chapter as we come and see how they've been living, why they have not been blessed by God, why they lost the ark, why all these things took place. It's because they were living apart from God. You know, you have struggles in your life. I want to tell you something. Some of those are on you because you're not faithful to God. You can work all you want and you can do all the things you try to do as a Christian, but if you're not looking to the Lord and trying to step in the steps He has for you, it's going to be a whole lot harder and you're not going to accomplish what God wants to accomplish in your life. Many times I've battled the Lord, and every time I've lost, I have to come to the point where I just know that he's on the throne in my life and I have to put him back up there because I've taken that away. I put myself on that throne. Me, me, me. I want to do it my way. I got reasoning. I got to do this because if I don't do this, I won't be able to do this. What about serving God first and watch him work in your life? There's a lot of people who have testimony of that. I've seen it over and over. I've been blessed personally. I know others have too. When they chose to put God first, and everything else second. It always works out for the best. Now, we don't think that sometimes, and it's a little scary to do that because we don't know the outcome. We don't know, but what happens is we just won't trust God. We just won't trust him that he says that he'll deliver us and he'll provide for us and meet our needs if we'll put him first. And it's scary, I know, because you don't know what that step's like. You don't know what's going to happen. You don't know where you're going to be. But that's why we have to trust by faith that God knows best and he will deliver us. He's going to do it for these folks. Why? Because they're confessing. They're getting right with God. They've claimed the fact that they are sinners. They have not been worshiping God. They got rid of their idols. We need to get rid of our idols. We have them. We don't have Balaam and Ashtaroth probably, but we have other things that we worship. And we need to at least curb or maybe even get rid of some of those things because they're hindering us from serving God. They're idols, and that's what they become. So it's important to have that relationship and to know that you're walking with God. And so revival begins with a conviction. Revival continues with confession. But it also requires crying out. Look at verse 7. And when the Philistines heard that the children of Israel were gathered together in Mizpah, the lords of the Philistines went up against Israel. And when the children were afraid of the Philistines, and the children of Israel said to Samuel, cease not to cry unto the Lord our God for us, that he will save us out of the hand of the Philistines. How important is prayer? Prayer is very important, folks. I don't know about you, but this is one of the places I fail at many times. And I'm trying to get a hold of that. Yes, I pray for my children. Yesterday, and this is not saying anything good about me. Actually, this is a bad thing because I don't do this very often. But I made sure I text every one of my kids and said I was praying for them. I don't ever do that, hardly ever. And I was just sitting in the office and working on a sermon and thinking about that. And I said, man, I need to make sure they know that their dad is praying for them. And Matt texts me back right away. He's at the Grand Canyon. He says, thank you, Dad. I appreciate that so much. You don't know how that's going to affect somebody. that you tell them you're praying for them. And pray for them, by the way. Don't just say, I'm praying for you. I don't know how many times I've done that. Hey, I'm praying for you, John. Hope things go well. And never utter a word to God about it. It happens. Some of us may agree with that. I don't know, but I've done it. But we're not to do that. We're lying. When we say we're praying for somebody, pray for them. Talk to God. And it doesn't have to be some long, drawn-out process. Right now, I can just say, John, I'm praying for you. And I can just say, Lord, please bless John. Encourage him. Strengthen him. You know, he doesn't even have to know that verbally, but I can do that. That's how easy it can be. But I'm sincere because I want to see God bless your life. I appreciate you. You're one of our, you are the patriarch of our church. And that's a fact. So we want to encourage him and others as well. So they're praying that God will do something. They're casting all their care upon God, that God will deliver them out of this thing. So they ask Samuel, cease not to cry. And of course, prayer is one of our greatest weapons. Psalm 57:2 says, I will cry unto the God Most High, unto God that performeth all things for me. And he'll do that. He'll perform all things for us. And so he's praying out. Let's see what happens as we go on here. So they're praying, they're getting right with God, they're putting away their idols, they're confessing their sin. And verse 9 says, and Samuel took a sucking lamb, and offered it for a burnt offering, holy unto the Lord. And Samuel cried unto the Lord for Israel, and the Lord heard him. Those are blessed words. How many times have you cried out the Lord? You don't know if he's hearing you or not, because you're not right with him. Because if we regard iniquity in our heart, he will not hear us, the Bible says. And that's the truth. You know, I've heard preachers say, prayers only go as high as the ceiling, as far as they go, because they don't go anywhere else. They only go from where you are speaking them, or if you're voicing those aloud, because there's something wrong in your life. Here, the Bible says, God heard him. I want God to hear me. I want him to bless my family. I want him to bless our church family. I want to see each one in this room grow and become more like Christ and live a life that is a blessing day in and day out. And it's so nice to know that God is hearing you. Verse 10, it says, and Samuel was offering up the burnt offering. The Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered with a great thunder on that day upon the Philistines and discomfited them, and they were smitten before Israel. Nobody drew a sword. Boom! Thunder comes down. And all of these people are smitten. Why? Because God fought their battle. God delivered them. Why? Because they were right with God. They were walking those steps that God had ordered. That's what he wants to do for us. Verse 11 says, and the men of Israel went out to Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and smote them until they came near Bethkar. Then Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shin and called the name of it Ebenezer. And Ebenezer means stone and some more. And saying, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. Of the stone, or help us stone, that's what it is. Help us stone, Ebenezer means. And that's a connotation in itself. Help us stone. Who is the stone? Jesus Christ is the rock. Help us, Lord, is basically what it sounds like. And so, verse 13, the Philistines were subdued, and they came no more into the coast of Israel. And the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines all the days of Samuel. And the cities of the Philistines had taken from Israel were restored to Israel from Ekron even to Gath. And the coast thereof did Israel deliver out of the hands of the Philistines. And there was peace between Israel and the Amorites. And Samuel judged Israel all the days of his life. And he went from year to year in circuit to Bethel and Gilgal and Mizpah, and judged Israel in all those places. And his return was to Ramah, for there was his house, and there he judged Israel, and there he built an altar unto the Lord. Revival. I need it, and some of you probably need it as well. That's between you and the Lord. But I want to encourage you. Get close as you can to God, and take the steps. It'll change your life. It'll change the way you talk to people. It'll change the way you respond to people. You know, you get angry sometimes. That is not a good response sometimes. You need to be meek and gentle, the Bible says. That's the fruit of the Spirit. Where's that come from? From walking with God. Having your Savior right there with you. Realizing that no matter what happens, I can trust Him. See, sometimes we get angry. It's because our pride wells up. The hairs on the back of your neck. You ever had the hairs of the back of the neck stand up? I have many times. And usually it's pride in my life. God wants to do a work. And what I can tell you is, let Him. Just let Him. He may be knocking on the door this morning and asking you, open up. Put away the idols. Put away those things in your life that are holding you back. Learn to trust me. Be faithful to me. And then I'll show you what I can do. If He can take and destroy armies, do you not think He can provide and meet your needs if you're faithful to Him? I think so. I think so. Let's pray. Father, again, we do thank You for Your Word. And I just pray You'd help each one of us, me especially. Father, I want revival in my life. I want to know how to walk in the steps You have ordered for me. Father, help me not to stray to the right or to the left, but looking to You, the author and finisher of my faith, that I too might be what You want me to be. Pray now You go before us and prepare us for the morning service. We'll thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen.